friends. Welcome to Spingola Speaks. Thanks for joining me today. This is Deanna Spingola coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago. It is Tuesday, February 15th, and you are listening to RBN because you can handle the truth. Please be sure to check out the products in the RBN store and support our sponsors. As you know, this program and the first hour of What Really Happened are available on shortwave at WWCR 13.845. My website is spingola.com. My email is deanna@spingola.com. There's a lot of misinformation and disinformation, especially in the alternative media, an environment you would not logically expect it to be. Lenin said, and I quote, "The best way to handle the opposition is to lead it ourselves," unquote. That statement is applicable to propaganda and information proliferation, as well as political parties. Last week I said that a person, an author, a radio host, or a guest might present factual information 90% of the time, hoping that you will believe 100% of what he or she says. You need to research history, evaluate political patterns, critically examine the composition of the corporate media, and then draw your own conclusions, which might be drastically different from what the multitude believes. If that is the situation, then you might be closer to the truth than the majority of the population. Let me establish a foundation. Number one, the winners write the history of every war or event. We know that elected officials regularly attempt to deceive us while methodically enslaving us to a tyrannical system. Number two, the same people who have a preponderance of control within the government and their agencies, including the Department of Education, also control the print media, the textbook industry, Hollywood, most of the publishing industry, television broadcasting, especially Fox News, the model for the other networks. Number three, the government and that media try to shape our reality. The War Department, now under the auspices of the pentagram-shaped Pentagon, particularly since World War I, has spent billions to dispense deception and lies, all designed to program our perceptions, who to hate, who to like, and who to kill. When considering information, evaluate the following. Number one, where did the information come from? Is it well sourced? Number two, what is the background of the author? Number three, is he, she popular in the mass media or in the alternative media? If you answer yes to both, there is a problem. Number four, is the person adamantly promoting a particular theory while remaining silent about the real culprits? Number five, is his or her book on the New York Times bestseller list? People make that list because the powers that be want to promote a particular theory. Number six, remember the 90-10 ratio. 90% truth does not make the questionable 10% factual. Some people can talk for 2 hours, use big impressive words, spin a lot of nonsense but never really cover their topic, educate, or interact with the listeners on an intelligible level. My guest today is not one of those people. Her name is Carolyn Yeager, the author of Auschwitz, The Underground Tour, and the host of her own program, The Heretics Hour. We're going to talk about the purported Bush-Nazi connection. We will be back after a few words from our sponsors, and we'll get to our wonderful conversation with Carolyn. Stay tuned.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning, and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with Lays Med Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.laysmedinc.com on the web. That's www.laysemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Have you heard? Proactiv is new and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway and you'll also receive free shipping.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With new Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-635-1053. Because we're going to let a million people try new Proactiv risk-free. Get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first to try new and better than ever Proactiv, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of the new Proactiv, two free extras, and free shipping when you call 1-800-635-1053. This is our best radio offer ever. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of new Proactiv plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping. This offer won't last long. Call 1-800-635-1053. That's 1-800-635-1053.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to ashworthtraining.com.
Welcome back, friends. This is Deanna, and my guest today, Carolyn Yeager. Her website is carolynyeager.com. Carolyn, welcome to the program.
Well, hi, Deanna. Very nice to be here.
Thank you so much. I know we're going to enjoy talking this hour, or 2 hours, actually. Now, you indicated that there were a lot of people who are particularly positioned to spread a lot of disinformation and misinformation and try to connect the Bush family to certain German industrialists. And purportedly, this built up the Hitler. And you have evidence, you've presented evidence, that this is not true. Despite all the work that has been, all of the books and stuff that I'd like to talk about and refer to. Go ahead.
Well, you put that very well, that the way you said that, and your previous introductory material was very good, too. Yes, I'm a researcher into World War II history, and including the Holocaust, and, you know, I'm looking for the truth about this. And so I pay a lot of attention to things, people that are talking about these topics. And I came across Jim Marr's book, The Rise of the Fourth Reich. And learning about that, it got me kind of, you know, angry. I mean, this, you know, like, what is this? And I looked into it, and that led me into a further search into this whole Bush-Nazi connection, which it's called. And there's a lot you can find on the Internet, and it's amazing how many people believe in it because even people who are very dubious about many aspects of World War II history and so on, they still accept that, well, this is probably true because it sounds so good, you know, and there's so much dislike of the Bush family.
Sure. You know, it's very interesting, but... You there?
Yes, I am, but what is all this static?
I don't know. Maybe we're being targeted by somebody. China, Russia, the United States, and Germany, with all the technological skills and natural resources, all represented potential competition to the British Empire, managed from the City of London by N.M. Rothschild and Sons. Consequently, Britain targeted those countries for exploitation, aggression, and repression. Now, you mentioned Marr's book, but one of the first books that came out back in 1984 was Charles Higham's Trading with the Enemy, the Nazi-American Money Plot, 1933 to 1949. And quite interestingly, he is the son of a member of the British Parliament.
Yes, you know, I'm not really prepared to talk about Higgins' book today because I haven't studied it recently. But you find these interesting connections, and I've got some very interesting connections that I could talk about in all of these people.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't hear everything you said because there was some static, but it seems to be gone now.
Oh, okay. The British Empire.
Huh. I don't know what it is.
I'm not sure. But the British Empire has always been controlled by the bankers since 1694. And Britain really targeted China, Russia, the United States, and Germany, who had a lot of technological skills, natural resources, and they represented competition. And if you look at history, those countries have really been targeted in several different ways. We're still experiencing a lot of static. I wonder if it would be appropriate for the board operator to call you back.
I think so. I hope
yeah.
That will work.
Why don't we try that?
All right.
Okay. Carolyn is right. There's a lot of things on the internet. There's an awful lot of books currently, but it started, like I say, in 1984 with Trading with the Enemy. And about that same time, Edwin Black came out with the Transfer Agreement. And then you have Christopher Simpson, who wrote Blowback, and he also wrote The Splendid Blonde Beast. And if you look at his background, then you kind of have questions. These people are really promoted. They get a lot of feedback. They get a lot of fluff pumping up. The media pumps them up, and you always hear about them. And if you hear a lot about a particular book, then you have to question, well, gosh, how come this other book doesn't get as much attention? Charles Higham also wrote American Swastika, The Shocking Story of Nazi Collaborators in Our Midst from 1933 to the Present Day. And you have to ask yourself, well, gosh, if the Nazis or the Germans, I really don't like to use the word Nazi, but if the Germans are really in control of our government, why is it peppered with all of these Jews? And it doesn't seem to make sense. Is Carolyn back with us? Manny, are you, did you call Carolyn back? Trying. Okay, we're trying to get a hold of Carolyn, and we'll see what happens here. It's kind of interesting, very interesting. So as I was saying, China, Russia, the United States, and Germany were all targeted, and Bernard Baruch advocated war against Germany. He wrote, and I quote, "I emphasize that the defeat of Germany and Japan and their elimination from world trade would give Britain a tremendous opportunity to swell her foreign commerce in both volume and profit." So, you know, they were kind of all in on it. And the Anglo-Americans collaborated. Okay, we're going to try a Skype conference call. Apparently, we are having some problems, and hopefully Skype will work. But the Anglo-Americans collaborated, and financed the Bolsheviks, who assumed control of Nicholas's army, which they used to defeat the White Russians during Russia's civilian massacre in 1918-1922. And concurrently, the Anglo-Americans laid the foundation for Russia's future enemy during the Versailles Peace Conference. Now, World War II did not begin in 1939, didn't begin in 1937. It began at Versailles. And they set the stage there at that so-called peace conference for the Second War, which was basically a continuance of the First War. And they devised reparations that affected the economic security of the reactionary elements in German society. And but they didn't alter, apparently, the lifestyle or income of Germany's elite. Their objective was to generate class warfare between these reactionaries. And they also sent Bolshevik forces into Germany itself to try to trigger problems, to try to trigger chaos. And by 1918, by August of 1918, the war was over for Germany, and they surrendered in November, and the Kaiser abdicated. 10 million Germans were dead, but it would take another war to annihilate the nation of skilled technicians, farmers, doctors, and highly developed sciences. The plan was to eliminate Germany's economic and political power and seize its geopolitical position. So there were some mandatory injunctions of the Versailles Treaty that established the Weimar Republic as a puppet regime of the West. And basically, you had a lot of very hungry people. There was they sanctioned, they embargoed the country for several weeks after the end of the war in order to starve the German population. Now, this was after World War I. And so we can see, and when Britain first announced that they were going to go after Germany, that was in about 1897, about the same time that they held the first Zionist conference in Switzerland. So if you look at all these things and kind of connect some dots, you can kind of get a sense of exactly who is behind this and who is behind a lot of what has happened since 1900. And it seems to always be the same people, unfortunately. Now, Bernard Baruch said something else, and I'm going to quote it. And he repeated it numerous times. Now, Bernard Baruch was a politician. He was a descendant of some early Jews who settled in South Carolina. He also had what he referred to as a plantation in South Carolina. And he was at the Versailles Peace Conference. He also was very chummy with all of the presidents up to Franklin D. Roosevelt. He was also very chummy with Eisenhower, and Eisenhower just absolutely adored this man. And Bernard Baruch said, and I quote, "We are going to lick that fellow Hitler," unquote. Okay, we are going to a break, and hopefully after the break, Carolyn will be back with us, and we'll have a great talk.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Welcome back, friends. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Carolyn Yeager, the author of Auschwitz, The Underground Tour, and the host of her own radio program, The Heretics Hour. Her website is carolynyeager.com. Carolyn, I think that they've solved the problem. We have some very skilled technicians at RBN.
Yes, I really appreciate what he's done, and I apologize. It apparently is my phone, and I hadn't had any problem with my phone, but I will say I'm a lot happier on this other system.
Good, good. So hopefully your phone will be okay after this is over, and you know, I'm a very suspicious person by nature, and I think, I wonder what happened to her phone.
Well, it could be, but I don't know. But anyway, you were saying some very interesting things, but I don't have it clear in mind what you were talking about now. After all this, so I'm sort of start again.
Well, you know, in 1897, Britain decided, or the bankers behind the British crown, basically targeted four countries, and those countries had a lot of good resources, a lot of skilled people, and those countries were China, Russia, the United States, and Germany, and they represented competition for Britain.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we're on their gun sights, I guess. And,
well, I think it's real possible that part of what is behind this particular promotion of Nazis in America is the British intelligence, and I think it could also be Jewish intelligence or Jewish organizations, what I might call organized Jewry. They both have a great deal of interest in keeping this kind of thing going. You know, for the obvious reasons that that they want to keep the Nazi. Pardon me?
Okay. Okay, we're back. Okay, I was gone.
Oh, really?
I think I was gone.
I was talking. we're having nothing but troubles here today.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just saying that the two British intelligence and organized Jewry, or whatever it might be, however that might be represented, both have a great deal of interest in keeping the Nazi threat alive and the belief in it. So, but I think the ones who have the most interest in Nazis in America are what you would call communist interests, or that which wants to cover up what they're doing, really globalism, by calling it fascism and linking it back to Nazis.
Sure.
But we're kind of getting it. I might be getting ahead of myself a little bit here with that, but I was just responding to what you said.
Sure. And you do have to look at where the information is coming from. And with that in mind, try and figure out what their objectives are. And there's a lot of people that have promoted this, and it seems to have happened right about, you know, the early 80s. And you have people like Mae Brussels and Dave Emery with the Spitfire list. And there's a lot of articles on the internet that promote this, in addition to all of these books. And again, like I say, you have to have a look at these people's backgrounds to see what their objectives might be, see what their associations and affiliations are that would suggest what their objectives are.
And well, I've looked at Jim Mars. I've looked at John Loftus, who I think is probably the worst culprit in this push Nazi connection.
Sure.
And I've looked at Webster Tarpley pretty closely. Other names I have are Greg Hallett, Henry Mackow, and Glenn Yaden. And you've brought up others. And you know that their Amazon has 442 titles under what the topic Nazi America. So it's very competitive. There's a lot of interest, of course, as soon as you put those two words together. And so there are a lot of people coming up with books about it.
Sure. And a lot of them make their way to the New York Times bestseller list. Now, you don't have to sell 100,000 books to be on the list. People look at the stuff that's published, and they say, oh, hey, let's put this one on the list. And it doesn't matter whether they've sold 10 or 20 copies. As soon as they put it on the list, it's going to be a big seller.
Yes, and some of these books, like, let's say, Jim Mars' Rise of the Fourth Reich, I think it did make it to the New York Times bestseller list.
It did.
And so you know that the publishers, who big publishers publish these books, so it's big business, it's serious business, they take it seriously. And so we should take it seriously, too, I mean, you know, in the way of investigating it.
Sure. And if a particular author is popular in both the mass media and the alternative media, there might be a problem here.
Well, yeah, that's an interesting way to look at it. You're right. You're absolutely.
And Lenin did say the best way to control the opposition is to lead it ourselves. So what's to prevent the alternative media from adopting some of the same mentality? We're going to break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made. right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each meal is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Shocking, terrifying, but very truthful and revealing. Finally, a documentary on the horrifying results of unopposed estrogen. Estrogen dominance. Are we writing our own epitaph? I urge you to go to www.republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the HealthLink America banner and watch the documentary, The Disappearing Male. To my knowledge, this is the first documentary about the threat that unopposed estrogen poses to our survival as a species. It's a real eye-opener. But the documentary gives no solution to the problem. We have the solution. If we don't get the progesterone message to the younger generation, especially the young women, our very survival is in jeopardy. Again, that website is www.republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the HealthLink America banner. After viewing, please visit our website, www.healthlink.org.
Welcome back. My guest today is Carolyn Yeager. CarolynYeager.com is her website. I mentioned before something that Bernard Baruch said, and he said in 1938, and I quote, "We're going to lick that fellow Hitler. He isn't going to get away with it," unquote. Now, politicians in 1938 and 39 were venting about attacking Hitler's totalitarian state. However, for 20 years, the murderous Soviets operated an actual totalitarian state, but the British and U.S. politicians were not clamoring to eliminate Stalin and his bloody regime. In fact, they allied with him. And that was after he starved at least 10 million people to death in the Ukraine. So, Carolyn, I think you're right on when you talk about communism here.
Thanks. Yeah, that's a good lead into what I would like to, talking about these various authors and what motivates them and communism, I'd like to focus on one, John Loftus, while we have a good segment here of a good amount of time. And now this man has been a prosecutor for the U.S. government for in charge, well, I don't know if he was in charge, but of so-called Nazi criminals in the United States. And he was he has made a specialty of investigating what he says are Nazis that were brought to the United States by the CIA and secret intelligence organizations and have been protected and are operating here. And then this leads all into the whole concept that the United States has a secret Nazi government and all these Nazis are operating and it's fascist. And that's why we're under the threat today is fascism. And so this, you know, see, this all leads us around in this circle. Now, this Loftus, he's a strange fellow. He has written quite a few books, all about Nazis and Hitler and the war against the Jews and so on. He wrote The Belarus Secret it came out in 1982, which was that theme that the United States brought in hundreds of Nazi collaborators from Eastern Europe. Now, these are people who may have had some association, you know, pro-Hitler during this time, and they are, you know, they're just labeled Nazis, and they're here and they're being protected. Then he wrote two books with Mark Ahrens, The Secret War Against the Jews, 1944, which somehow purports to prove that the major powers of the world have planned covertly to bring about the destruction of Israel. And the other book, Unholy Trinity, the Vatican, the Nazis, and the Swiss Banks, came out in 1991, and then I guess another version in 1998, but or another edition from maybe a different publisher. And it was about what he calls the Catholic Church's war against communism, and then communism's war against the church. But of course, he brings in all this stuff about the Vatican and how they supported the Nazis and how the Swiss banks had all this money. This was at the time when they were suing these banks. So a lot of this, as you already brought up, you know, it comes at a time when there's a reason for it. And then he wrote his most recent book, America's Nazi Secret. This is where we really come full circle here. This came out in 2010. And it shows how the U.S. Justice Department is obstructing Congress by concealing from the 9/11 investigators the role of the Arab Nazi war criminals in recruiting modern Middle Eastern terrorist groups. So he's bringing it all together with somehow 9/11 and the Arabs. And now, you know, these Arabs that he hates are Nazis, too. And this is the kind of stuff he does. Now, this Mark Ahrens that he's worked with, his story is really something. He wrote about it himself, finally, in a book called The Family File. And he was in a communist family in Australia, four generations of very active militant communists, and he was one. And he's talking about the huge file that the government had on his family, and including himself. And he writes that the book is that they were subversive revolutionaries, avowed communists who challenged the established constitutional order. And he tells, you know, it's like presented in like, oh, this is a wonderful, warm story about a family, you know, and what they went through and how they, it's a story of revolution and dissent, idealism and intrigue, and an intimate story of life under surveillance, a reflection on communism and its legacy, you know, making it all, you know, kind of something in the past and that people have overcome.
Sure.
But here's this apparently right-wing, you know, he's goes along with the Likud party in Israel. He's very connected with Jews and Israel, which I can explain in a minute. Writing with this Mark Ahrens, this ex-communist, they have something in common. and they are... Then another thing about John Loftus is that he continues his career as a speaker. He's a real self-promoter, and he founded something called the Intelligence Summit with Robert Katz, a Jew, in 2006. And this organization has been funded mainly by Michael Chernoy or Cherny, very close to both Chertoff and Cheney, but not the same exactly. He's an Uzbekistan-born Israeli citizen who has been denied a U.S. visa since 1999 because of alleged ties to the Russian mafia. I mean, he's done every kind of thing. He's he goes into businesses for himself, self-made man, and he's been in all kinds of criminal trouble. And this is the person who funds Loftus's. And Loftus has been criticized for that. And, you know, Loftus had a website for this intelligence summit, and I went to it. I was reading on it just like three or maybe now 4 or 5 days ago. And when I looked for it yesterday, it was all down. Every reference to it, when you clicked there, it wasn't there. So maybe he has brought that to an end. He's had too much criticism on it. But this man has managed to become director of the St. Petersburg, Florida Holocaust Museum. And he's not equipped to do that. He's not an expert on the Holocaust, but I think he's probably a good money fundraiser. And he knows a lot of people. He's a very slick fellow. He is a professional speaker, and he is a good speaker, and he's a good writer too. His books, I haven't actually read his books, but I'm sure they keep you enthralled, keep you interested. So he's been criticized though by the Holocaust people that he is using his connection with the Holocaust Museum to help to promote his intelligence summit and to promote his own personal speaking engagements. And another thing is that he gets his he's on the B'nai B'rith Lecture Bureau list, the same as Elie Wiesel is, to get his speaking engagements. He tells people to call them if they want to, use him for a speaker. So, his connections are, he's just a self-promoting operator, and he's being used by those who want to push this agenda that he is pushing. And he really is, he has no credibility, although people have given him credibility. But now I think it's getting kind of thin, although his new book is out and is being promoted.
Sure. Maybe that's why he wrote the new book, to try and get back some of his credibility. I think there are too many people in the truth movement, the so-called truth movement, and too many people at large who are saying, okay, I really don't know that I believe everything that I've been told about World War II. And they start investigating, and so those who are promoting these kinds of stories have to really get into second gear and put out some more propaganda. And you have to look at the composition of our government, the composition of the media, and recognize that it is not, and I repeat, it is not fascist. It is not controlled by a bunch of ex-Nazis. It is controlled by the very same people of which you speak.
Yes, another person involved in very much in this, bringing out this Bush-Nazi connection and bringing out the documents, is a man named John Buchanan, who is the publisher of the New Hampshire Gazette. It's a progressive newspaper. He's very liberal, he's been around for a long time, but he is the one, he says, who went, when these documents were released from the U.S. archives, some new documents, he went and read them all, and then he wrote up how it was proof of this Bush-Nazi connection and did a lot of publicizing of it. And the thing, he got very upset because the media would not would not write anything about it. And in this case, the media didn't do it because there's nothing to it. And then I find out that this man, John Buchanan, suffers from hypermania, a form of manic depression. And when he found himself rebuffed, by the media in doing what he thought they should do, he responded with a series of threats against the journalists and the media outlets that had spurned him. And after he did all that, then he had to apologize say he was, he had this little bit of a problem.
Sure.
So, a lot of these people that they get to do this are really, they're these questionable types. And they have an agenda, like just being, if you're a very serious progressive, you have an agenda to make the right wing look bad. And that's what that may be simply what John Buchanan wants to do.
I don't know. I mean, the right wing in this country has moved so far right that, and if you look at some of the people, the journalists in the very, very far right, you find that they're ex-Trotskyites.
Well, I don't even like the right and left, but you know,
I don't either.
Yeah. I just used it just now, but because that's the way he would think. You know, he would
sure.
think he's on the left and this, he hates the right. He would hate Republicans. He would hate fascists. He would, you know, things
sure.
like that. But I don't think you can really talk in those terms. I talk in
yeah.
terms of nationalism, nationalists and internationalists.
Which I believe you're very correct in doing, because as I mentioned, Lenin control, you know, they said we're going to control both sides. And so, of course, nationalism has been made a bad word, a negative term. But quite frankly, we should all be nationalist. We should put our country first. And, quite frankly, there's a certain ethnic group that have always been internationalist, who when the Patriots were throwing the tea into the Boston Harbor, they were importing it and selling it because they didn't want to miss any profit. So there's a certain ethnic group that does not have any loyalties to any country.
Yeah,
period.
And this is what will clear it up too for us when we talk about, well, who's on, because you know, the left and right is so confusing. Because if you're internationalist, well, we know who were the internationalists. The communism is international.
Sure.
And so when they say that now that these globalists are fascists, and that then connects them there means Nazis, because they insist that national socialism was a fascist system, which it wasn't.
No,
really,
it was a nationalist system.
Yes, it was. It had some similarities. Well, see, they try to say that nationalism is fascism. It can be. Yeah, it can be. But the thing is that internationalism is communism, and globalism is internationalism. So they're really trying to switch away from communism and the whole idea of that old communist threat.
Sure.
And turn it into fascism, which if you can think clearly about it, it doesn't make any sense. But I think that's what a lot of these books, including these, there's probably several things they're trying to accomplish. But one of them is to connect globalism with fascism. And some of the people I've been talking about recently, they're all doing that. And it
sure.
really doesn't fit.
It does not fit ideologically, not at all. And if you consider the people who financially backed communism were the Jewish bankers to begin with.
It's always been said, you know, communism equals Judaism equals Zionism. I mean, you know,
yeah.
But now they want to change it to Zionism equals fascism. And then
sure.
they want to go from there to Hitler, who is the most famous, because they don't even talk about Mussolini in Italy, where the true fascism was, you know, because that he's not a bad enough guy, you
right.
know. So they go to Hitler. But you know what? Fascism is a combination of government, the ownership class, which would include corporations. They want to call it corporatism and so on, and the labor or working class. All three, and that's what makes it nationalism. It, you know, because you're bringing all parts of your nation together,
right?
Hopefully working together to create a strong nation. And that's what fascism is. It was never considered a bad thing. And really, I mean, when he first came up and talked about it and so on, Mussolini and the word was used, people were not considering it as bad until the war propaganda started. And then as soon as Mussolini joined Hitler, yeah, and became an ally in the Axis, then all of a sudden, immediately, overnight, fascism became a bad word.
Sure, sure. And both of them were the targets of the U.S. media, which was controlled then and has been for at least 100 years. Well, actually, control of the media by that ethnic group goes back to about the time of Lincoln's War. So it's really kind of an amazing
yeah, that's,
thing.
That's something you've written about. You've really taught me something there. I've read things about Abraham Lincoln before, but I had never gotten that deeply into it that you revealed. It's quite interesting.
Yeah, Well, hopefully I'm going to be revealing some more. I'm hoping to get my book out soon. I see the light at the end of the tunnel, and it's going to be available soon. But thank you. We are going to a break, and we'll be right back with Carolyn Yeager.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
The Perculite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Perculite, with its exclusive black Perky filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Perculite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Perculite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Welcome back, friends. This is the last segment of this hour. My guest today is Carolyn Yeager. Her website is carolynyeager.com. Okay, continue.
All right, because I would like to clarify something. When I said that Hitler's Third Reich was not fascist, I say that based on the popular definition of fascism that's being bandied around, that it's that we already said was wrong, which is that it's a merger of government and corporate structures in the country. But as a matter of fact, the National Socialist policy was, and the effort was, to bring together the ownership class, which it did not reject. It was very much against the communist idea that there shouldn't be any private property. It believed in allowing there to be private property, and to bring this ownership class together, or in a good relationship with a beneficial relationship with the working class, the laboring class, so that they were kind of made by Hitler to come together in council together and come up with agreements that would, you know, that both could agree with on how to operate between them, so that for the good of the nation, because he was trying to build up Germany and he wanted all Germans to be looked upon with respect. And that's what this whole concept is. And I don't know exactly what Mussolini was trying to do, but he was trying to build a strong Italy. I don't know if he had as many social policies, if he was as socially conscious as Hitler was, but Hitler felt that his National Socialism was very strong on both elements. In fact, as some people in Germany remind me, it was one word. You know, of course, a lot of German words are one word, but, you know, National Socialism, it wasn't, you know, like they weren't separate, they were together. Right. It was a socialism that was for the that should work for the entire nation. And, you know, the German ruling class, you might say, but the industrialists and the wealthy and the owners of the businesses and so on, they agreed to go along with that. They really didn't have any problem, because most of the Germans in that time, they were patriotic Germans. You know, all Germans were upset with the Versailles Treaty. They were horrified. They were terribly upset about it.
And with justification.
And so, yes. And so all of the wealthy people in Germany were, you know, they cared about Germany. They weren't these vultures like we have today, who are internationalists, who don't care about their own people. They were German patriots. They felt they were German. They weren't going anywhere. You know, you still had a sense of nations in that time. And so they went along with this, and it was working. It was working beautifully.
Well, the real problem were the international bankers and the foreign money power who had come in and usurped the press. And you had about 1.5% of the people who were outsiders, because Germany was made up of, you know, 98% Germans. Mm-hmm. And then you had this other power that came in, and they had, you know, 50-60% of the power in a lot of very influential areas, such as in financing, banking, the press, the universities. And the other thing too is the Bolshevism, communism, wanted to obliterate Christianity from every country in Europe, and they started with Germany first. Okay, we're going to a break, and we'll be back after a word from our sponsors.